When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition. I don't know why I point. Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Shakir here. So we'll kick things off by discussing Mo Salah. Craig, it's the first time you've been on since what we saw on the touchline when he was brought on in the West Ham game. I'm just wondering what you thought of that.
Like a big baby, basically. Very petulant. Extremely petulant. And look, as a superstar, and that's what he has been, mm-hmm. I mean, we could question how long that's going to go on now. But bearing in mind the respect that Klopp has as a manager at that club and he has as a player, I think this is really out of order here. And we all have spent moments of time when we've been frustrated with management suggesting I have not done this. But I've done this from a situation where I've felt that a manager has got personal with me and it's not been about football. This is purely about football here. This is not a clash of characters. This is not a clash of personalities. This is because he wasn't playing in the game. And for me, and the reason he wasn't playing is pure and simple. The graphic said it. His recent form has been poor. Mm-hmm. Really bad. And Jurgen Klopp's in a scenario at Liverpool where, you know, whether he's leaving at the end of the year or not, doesn't matter. He's fighting for his very life in this Premier League title race. So he's trying anything. And playing a player who's completely out of form, whether it's Mo Salah or anybody else, just is utterly stupid. So why wouldn't Klopp make a decision? Now, of course, as a player, you see it. You never see it that way. You always see it the opposite. Yeah, I'll dig you out the hole. I'll be the guy at West Ham today. I'm the go-to guy. You always think that as a player. The truth of the matter is, he has not been that guy. He's not been that guy since he came back injured from the African Cup of Nations. And that's why the manager had to make a big decision in a big game when the season for them is petering out. And his actions on the sideline were nothing more than a petulant kid, to be quite honest with you. And if I was a Liverpool fan, I don't think I'd like to see that. And I think any Liverpool fans who watched it and think, do you know what, if he goes to Saudi Arabia and we get crazy, stupid money from at the end of the season, let's just take it and move on.
Is it easy, just easy to say, right, well, once Klopp goes on, obviously they've got their problems, Arne Slot comes in, he'll be back to the normal Salah?
Well, he has a summer now to deal with any injury issues or whatever it is maybe hampering him, because he just, as Craig mentioned, just hasn't been himself. But you cannot help but look past the Saudi Arabia link, the fact that as of this summer, he'll have 1 year left on his contract. What does the future hold for him? And whether that's playing a part in some of the reactions of Mo Salah in this instance. I don't think, all that being said, I don't think it's as simple as Arne Slot comes in and everything will be back to normal. And that in itself, the change of manager initiates an uncertainty about Liverpool that nobody knows where we are right now. And that doesn't help Mo Salah in any way, coming off the back of what has been a disappointing season, or at the very least, a disappointing 6 months.
But that was for the cameras, wasn't it? As was his quote.
As was in the mix zone,
the quote,
yeah.
The quote for me is what was kind of, to your point, just petulant and silly.
Yeah, when he said what about...
If I speak now, it'd be fire.
Yeah. Listen, I tell you what, if you've got any stomach about you, go and speak.
Yeah.
Go and talk to them and air it all. Because if you're going to be stood like some kindergarten kid on the touchline, when you know the cameras are on you, you know all the cameras are there, looking at the subs, and you're getting petulant, and then you walk up through the mix zone and you throw a little light, go and tell them. If that's how you feel, go and tell them. So the whole thing was, I mean, it's a shame, really. This was a great title race all the way. Liverpool have just started to peter out and you know, Klopp is not perfect in all this scenario. Of course he's not. But I don't think he needs his star player to be acting like this, particularly at a time of the season where it's all sort of going awry for them.
Did you hear my brilliant theory on Saturday?
No.
Would you like to hear it now?
I heard it and I don't want to hear it now.
Why don't you want to hear it? It's a great theory.
You've never had a brilliant
theory. I heard it already.
It's a great theory. And Mo Salah wanted to go to Saudi Arabia. Jurgen Klopp tells him, look, stick with me, stick with this project, we can still win a lot here. And then all of a sudden, Jurgen Klopp is leaving, ditching Salah after the promise he made about the project together. Salah's not happy, therefore, forms out the window.
Saudi Arabia will be there for him whenever he wants or whatever.
Don't ruin the theory. Mario's here. Mario, how are you, my man? Here we go, then. What did you make of Salah's touchline antics?
How are you guys? No, I heard you guys talk about it. Look, the situation with the interview, I think there was a moment that was for Salah. I think he wanted to bite back. The one on the pitch... Okay, he could have done it smarter in the sense of, like, you understand, be more... Like, he's arguably the biggest player in that team. But his emotions got the better of him because we all been there in that. I heard Craig talk about it, but we all been in a situation where we talk back to our manager in a moment where we're not even thinking. I don't know if he was aware of the camera, but I think he got to him. And he let his emotions and their newness calmed him down in a way. But the moment the timing is not right. Liverpool is not performing. We all, like, even me, I said, like, this is their time. And for them to perform like this and then having this, you know, like in a situation with Salah, you put him on the bench and then you put him on, what is it, 30 minutes to go, your biggest player, is never going to look good, his reaction. So I think it was because I think it's the time. The time that he put him on, I think that got too sensitive to Salah.
Meanwhile, to actually what happened on the pitch, obviously it finished 2-2. Liverpool had a weird opportunity to kind of win it. And it was something that we discussed, obviously, a couple of weeks ago with the Champions League incident, wasn't it? Where we saw Gabriel pick up the ball. And then, obviously, the referee didn't give the penalty. Now, here, Anthony Taylor waves the advantage.
Yeah, this, for me, is really cut and dry. It is. I'm just seeing this roll on a little bit. He's given a free kick. Right, he's tried to play the advantage.
But he hasn't given the free kick, that's the thing, isn't it?
Well, he gave a free kick. And then he waved an advantage on. And for me, this is no different. And I think the right thing was done here by Taylor blowing the whistle. And I'll tell you why. It's no different to when an assistant puts his flag up and flags a player for offside. Most referees try and play an advantage of the ball still in play. And then if they realise there has been a mistake and, say, for example, there was a Liverpool player in proximity on the edge of the box to the offside call, therefore it's a disadvantage, not an advantage, they go back to the earlier call. And I think that's what's happened here. Anthony Taylor was trying to keep the game going. There was a free kick. He's going, OK, I've seen the free kick, you can keep it going. And there's been, a miscommunication. And when he realised there was no advantage to Areola and it was becoming a disadvantage, the same as the flag going up for offsides, it's no different. We see it all the time. The flag goes up and we see the referees acknowledging the flag, waving play on, and then realising there's a player in proximity, he'll stop it. And for me, this really wasn't a big deal.
It's good to see Craig defending goalkeepers, first of all. I didn't think I'd see that day.
Well, I was defending the referee.
Well, no, I'm going to go to goalkeepers. I think there's a couple of things at play. One, when Areola goes down, there are two players around him. And I think he thinks the game is stopped. And maybe right. If he looks up, and if you look at Anthony Taylor, he's kind of pointing up towards the Liverpool goal as if to say, well, it's a free kick going this way. Play on is you raise your hands like this. So I think the goalkeeper probably is looking at the referee and he thinks it's a free kick, so he does as much. So again, I think this is more a refereeing mistake than human error on the part of Areola in this one. So Anthony Taylor, mm-hmm. right to call him.
I mean, there's no way he's rolling it out like that. And that's how they do it with the spin on it.
Really, Craig?
Did you see how I put the spin on?
Yeah.
There's no way he's doing that if he doesn't think the referee has stopped the game. So this is...
There you go. All right, then. Let's move on, shall we? Liverpool, of course, out of the title race. Arsenal very much in it, alongside Manchester City. What a game we saw yesterday in the North London derby. Of course, 3-0 up in the end. It finishes 3-2. Arteta talking about the prayers towards the end of the game. Divine intervention or not, Arsenal with a big 3 points, a big statement. Mario, this was great fun. What a great game to watch.
It was a great game, but I think that the papers highlighted it a little bit more because I don't think Spurs was that bad the first half. Because the first half, it made it look, okay, they dropped off and they were maybe keeping it compact because we know Arsenal plays. But then, okay, then you see that like in the beginning, okay, then Arsenal start kicking off, they start scoring the goals, of course. But Spurs, I don't think the scoreline was worse than the way they were performing. And I think that is what hurt them. And I think halftime probably Postecoglou must have got into them and said like, hey guys, you got to change now. And I felt like in the first couple of minutes when they started the second half, it was a little bit more intensity in them. And then, of course, they got back into the game and to the final. Oh, how they got back in the game, you know, like they could have, like, even in the beginning, when we talk about the penalty, like in the beginning, that was a crucial moment for me. Yeah? When the game kicked off, they could have picked up something. But just in general, I felt like Spurs had to be way more clever and should not allow those three goals to go that quick into them because they went too quick to finish the game off.
Postecoglou was so down, wasn't he?
Yeah, but his comments were interesting in a sense that he almost played down Arsenal's proficiency from set pieces and Tottenham's own deficiency. Mm-hmm. By it was a throwaway comment when he said, ah, do you think it's our only problem, mate? I would be working on, you know, I've got so many other things to work on. Well, yeah, we understand that. Arsenal have been one of the best teams, and I don't know the stats exactly, but one of the best teams with set pieces, at set pieces in the league mm-hmm. this year, right? As we see the Saka goal on the break from the controversial non-call at the other side. But when you're... When your team has struggled so much from corner kick,
yeah.
Right now, when you do the video stuff, we know Ben White's a pain, right? That's what he does at set pieces. He doesn't always stand on the goalkeeper. He comes from maybe in front of him, or he comes from behind him. So you have to be aware of that. So the first thing I'm doing, I'm saying, right, keeper, right? And Jack can talk about the keepers, but I'm saying, right, keeper, what do you want? Do you want somebody to block Ben White? Do you want somebody to stand in between? What do you want? Because this guy is going to come and he's going to try and make himself a problem, right? That's the first thing I've got to solve, and then the rest of it goes from there. It always seemed to me that Postecoglou said, listen, we're working on other stuff. I don't have to... And, you know, he's had a lot of praise this year for me on this programme for the way they've played, and I think rightly so. But it was a kind of throwaway yesterday to say, we're not... We're concentrating on other things. When Arsenal, one of the strong points, of their many strong points, has been that area, and they got caught out again two times.
What would you want, Shaq, in that situation, as Craig says?
I'd want to play on...
Ben White?
On Ben White.
Blocking right. And pulling, and almost fouling him.
The thing for me is, we've seen this before with Spurs. Mm. Against Manchester City, we've had exactly the same conversation. So, to Craig's point... And I agree. I've loved everything for Postecoglou all season long. I really appreciate what he's building and how he's going about his business. But surely you could walk and chew gum at the same time. Surely you could build a team to play out from the back and the high press and still work on set pieces at the same time. You don't have to leave that till next season when you get all the other bits right. And this is a simple fix. This is, if there's somebody around the goalkeeper, I want you pick somebody, to go and don't let him interfere with our goalkeeper. And now, and let's be honest, Vicario isn't the strongest physically.
No.
So it's not a Peter Schmeichel or somebody who could handle themselves in the box in that way. So you want to give him some help. But you got burnt with it a few weeks ago. You know exactly who Arsenal are. You get burnt with it again. And I don't understand the position that, well, you know, we concede those goals because we haven't worked on that just yet. That don't make sense.
I was looking forward to you talking about yourself in the third person.
I know.
I thought you were going to say
Peter Schmeichel.
Like,
he's
a, his like a hislop.
Yeah, no. Casey would.
You know the interesting thing? One before we got married, the ridiculed position that we all sort of laugh at some. I'm presuming Tottenham don't have one, except peace coach. Because if a manager's saying, and I've never heard, I'm too busy doing this.
No, they let him go after Conte, apparently.
Huh?
When Conte left, he left.
And the set-piece coach will never be ridiculed again.
There we go.
On this show.
Mario, defensively, handle that?
No, how you handle that? I think as a goalkeeper, I think you kind of want the player then either be in the goal and then the other player is then next to him. It's the only solution. Or you stand in front of him so he cannot get in front of him. The key thing is also what they're talking about. He, Postecoglou, must know where Arteta comes from. Arteta comes from a team like Everton. His history of Everton, you know, regardless of what he did at Pep Guardiola, you understand the football side. But at Everton, Everton was focusing on that a lot. So he should know that in before the game, like, look, I'm playing against somebody that is going to know how to handle corners because his old team was playing like that. And he probably won't surprise me if Arteta was taking the corners at that time because he was a technical player. So for that to happen, now you have to handle it. And what you guys have said, Ben White is his job. And I did that job myself. So I know how it feels. What you do is you make sure that you either stand behind the goalkeeper and wait till he moves. When the ball gets kicked, you're just standing next to him. So he cannot go anywhere. That's the only job you have to do. So you make sure he cannot go out. And for him then, for that one, of course he came out and said like, oh guys, I don't think you guys should worry about corners so much. Yeah, but that was more a protection. I didn't feel like that was kind of one of the things. I'm sure he's going to work on it now because it cannot happen again. Come on now.
What would the producer do? I mean, he's a long-suffering Tottenham fan. What is he? I don't care.
I don't care what you do.
He said he's got enough on his plate.
Mario,
he's gone silent.
Mario, you mentioned it before, of course. Clueless. A big call in this game was just before the Saka goal was the chance of a penalty. Did you think it was a penalty?
I think it was a penalty because, look, when he comes to him, he kind of clips him. The way it happens, we could say like it wasn't intentionally, but when it happens, let's say this foul would have happened anywhere else on the pitch and he touches his leg like that. It's not like he wanted it. No, he's running away, clips his foot there, his heels, and one heel clips his other foot and then he stumbles. On his left foot, I don't think, you know, like as a player, he's a lefty. He would have striked the ball for sure if he could have. And now he couldn't, so he had to drop it off. So, no, I will give the penalty. You saw what happened afterwards. The counter-attack, okay, Davis was smart for letting Saka go to his strong foot by going inside. But away from that, this is the advantage for Arsenal. So I think the referee should have called on that.
What do you think? You weren't here yesterday.
Was you here?
I was.
He was here.
I didn't think it was a penalty.
No, and the more I see it, the more I could be convinced. But I'm not easily convinced.
Right?
I felt it at the time. And I know they kept going back to it and on the commentary. And I think they were almost trying to convince themselves. I just don't think there's enough there for me from Leandro Trossard. There's no attempt whatsoever to infringe on Kulusevski. And I don't deny there's a little bit of contact there. Right? But I was happy with that, as controversial as it was, I was okay with that decision staying as it was because I don't think it was egregious whatsoever, and I'm okay with it.
Let's take a look then.
I have a question. If he would have clipped him in the middle of the park, would we have called the foul, or would we set play on? I think we would have called the foul too. We would have called the foul because he clipped him. If he touches him, we would have called the foul. Maybe the penalty is more sensitive or where it is. But I think if this would have happened in the middle of the park, I think we would have called for the foul. If it was my team and he would have done it against me, I would have called it by 100% that he touched him.
I'm not sure I would have called it as a foul in the middle of the park. I will say, though, that had Michael Oliver given it, I don't think VAR...
No, I don't think it's overturning it, is it?
I think whatever the call on the pitch stands.
OK, that's enough of that. Let's talk about the title race then, shall we? Arsenal's 3 points means that they remain top of the table. Manchester City, though, have that key game in hand. Hence, they are still favourites with 4 games to go. Didn't look too convincing against Nottingham Forest. Of course, as Chris Wood took those chances, we could be having a very different conversation. The 3 matches left for Arsenal: Bournemouth, Old Trafford, and then Everton. For City, home against Wolves, then it's away against Fulham, away against Spurs, and home against West Ham. Every Monday, I ask you the same thing, Mario. Who's winning it?
Oh, the beginning of the season, I had City on it, and then I had to change to Liverpool, but they let me down. I don't know why. So I'm still here. I mean, I have to hold on to what I started at the beginning of the season then. I have to make it City, guys.
Why is he upset? Huh? Why Mario? Mario seems sad.
Yeah, don't be sad, Mario. It's all right.
Hey, you know why? Because they're tricking me, man. They're tricking me. Everybody's tricking me this season. I don't know why they're tricking me. Just keep it simple. Just win games. Make it easy.
I think let's wind up Mario.
They don't feel bad about being wrong, Mario. It's a trait on
this show. Never admit it.
Yeah, just
never admit that you're wrong.
Like who?
Are you suggesting
not just on this show, just in life?
Oh, I'm not having that, Your Honour. Not guilty. Looking at that, and I know I've been strong in Arsenal all season.
Yes, you have.
Looking at that, it's just saying to me, cannot see, even though they've got the Tottenham game at Tottenham, it's hard to see City with a bit between their teeth, even though I don't think they're playing as well. They've got that little, they've got the sniff of, if we win out, it's ours. And that is a big carrot to be dangled. So, yeah, at the moment, it's looking like, because it's in their hands, I'm going for City.
Who you want me to jinx this week?
I know, Shaq.
Yeah. Well, what did you do?
Liverpool a couple of weeks back, and I'm just saying, it's all gone downhill.
What game was you at?
Arsenal.
Which could cost them the title.
Listen, I'm with Craig in that it's City to lose. And while City haven't been playing well for quite some time, they've now gone 19 without a loss. It just speaks to who they are this time of the season. And even when they aren't playing well, they somehow just manage to get over the line. I think that's what they do again with these four. But goodness me, I thought the performance against Forest was anything but that of a title winner.
Meanwhile, Manchester United dropped more points, of course. I can imagine 1-1 draw against Burnley. And you've got to think now, maybe Ten Hag's trolling us. Maybe he just comes out and says these sort of things to wind everybody up. As afterwards, he said, we are one of the most dynamic and entertaining teams in the league at this moment. We are creating loads of chances by playing good football. It was unnecessary to lose control. You okay?
I mean, bing bong. I mean, Burnley, again, they didn't. I can't remember the. I did look at it. I can't remember the possession stats exactly in the game, but they didn't really have control. This is taking Erik Ten Hag. Yeah, exactly. They had a lot of efforts at goal, but, you know, didn't control the possession of the game, which is normal for Man United. Burnley fighting pretty well these days to get out of the relegation zone. Again, at Old Trafford, off the back of a game against one of the worst ever teams that have graced the Premier League in Sheffield United this season, where it was for 80 minutes, this is Man United that is, for 80 minutes it was till the Bruno Fernandes left footer was 2-2. 2-2. And now we have a man, and yeah, they won the game, now we have a manager coming out talking about, this is new level Ten Hag diarrhea. I mean, it is full boona here. I mean, they got to be watching this, the new investors, and go, I think he's already out. But if there's any doubt,
yeah.
I mean, he is right in one sense. And I'm sorry to talk about a Dutch compatriot of Mario's here.
Okay.
Man in which I am. But this is just ridiculous.
I don't think Mario cares.
But you know, I don't like...
We don't say that when we haven't got Scottish people.
Some people deserve it. he is right in some sense. It's dynamic when you watch United play. Because every team that plays them, it peppers a goal. I mean, it's fun to watch. This is just... I'm stuck for words.
Yeah.
I'm all Ten Hag out.
Mario, he's your fellow countryman. Come to his defence.
No, but hey, look, I cannot defend him because at the moment, you know, look, when you play in a certain way and what you are saying is not equal to what you are showing, that becomes a problem. And it's not only that we are saying it now. It's not like, look, especially me as an individual, having a go at him. No, I'm not having a go. This is reality. You understand? Your team is not performing. You're not playing well. And also what's happening is that you being judged as the size of the club where you are. This club is not, you understand, used to playing like this. The way he's playing, come on, if you play a side like, you know, you guys already, Craig said it, Burnley, guys, Burnley, you understand, is a team that holds on to playing possession football and hold on to that tactical way because, you know, company wants that. It's no problem with it. But it should not be equal to you and giving you so much trouble to win it. Okay, you might, your goalkeeper gets in a mistake and stuff like that. But it says enough, you know. It says, like, even in Holland, people are talking about it now, that what he's saying is not agreeing with what he's showing.
Do the players care, Shane?
I do. I think they would, given what he's saying. Now, it's one thing to be optimistic and upbeat about your team and their chances and how they're playing. But to Craig's point, Craig said, you know, he doesn't think the owners are buying this. I don't think anybody is. I don't think the media who he's making these statements to is buying it. I don't think the players are. I don't think Manchester United fans are. The evidence is there to see. And as a result, while I've been saying that he's been kind of auditioning to keep his job for next season, I think it's doing damage now. It's just gotten so ridiculous that it's hard to take him at all seriously.
Right.
And to your question, I think as the players, you're seeing this. You walk off the pitch, Old Trafford, with a draw to a team in the bottom three, and the manager comes out and says that. As a player, I can't take anything he says seriously again. If it was a one-off, it's one thing. You're like, oh, Gaffer lost his marbles today. But this is consistent every single week for as long as we can remember. And for me, that cannot but have a negative effect.
And these players don't need anything to ridicule, because they'll ridicule you in a heartbeat. This lot at Man United.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Solskjaer was never a Man United manager, but they hung him out because they knew he was weak. And then Ralph Rangnick, they knew he was short-term, 6 months, so they hung him out, did what they wanted. Party time. And they've rolled the sleeves up for a year for this fella. But now they've downed tools for him a long time ago. And Shaq's right. Players will be in the dressing room going, hey, by the way, you're getting paid for the next 3 years? Yeah, I'm getting paid. He's out, by the way. He's gone. Ten Hag. But they're all right. So they'll ridicule the manager because they're all right. Well, they think they're all right. They'll certainly get paid. Maybe the NES will get rid of them, pay them up. Some of them, I don't know. But how can you take anybody serious that has just come out the back of an FA Cup semi-final where they got battered for an hour and were hanging on in the edge of a cliff by their fingertips, and only a big toe, kept them from getting knocked out to Coventry, and then 80 minutes against the worst team in the Premier League by a long shot until they solved that mystery, and then a 1-1 at home to the other team in relegation. I mean, if that doesn't tell a story, I don't know what is. The quicker they get this guy out, and it's not just that. How Ineos, and it's not the Glazers, how Ineos are going to get him out, and then half of these wasters, I can't wait to see how they're going to do it, because they're going to have to do that. It's not just him. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to get the Rashfords out and the Antonys, and there's a long list of them.
Yeah.
A long list of them. They've put themselves in this problem. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, am going to be intrigued in the summer. What are they going to try and strong arm it? How are they going to try and mollycoddle players and go, yeah, well, you know, how are they going to do it? Because they need to make some big changes.
Last word on this to you, Mario.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, like Craig just said, the Ineos people, they are really focused on, like, making sure that every season they're getting better. So now they just took the job. So if they're talking about percentages, because, you know, they come, what is it, the background of David, for example, the one that is one of the head guys that's running the Man United situation. I was fortunate to sit with him, you know, when we went to the Champions League final. So I had a conversation with him, and his mindset was all about getting better each season. So if they want to focus on that, they must have already have a preparation and an understanding of where they want to go and what direction they want to go. So because if that is not, then it's going to be a big question mark. Because I think also, not only that, like last week I talked about it, and I said Ten Hag was surprised of the job size that he's in. But I don't only think that he's surprised by the job size he's in, he's also surprised by the players that he brought to the club to perform for him. Because I give an example, Antony scored the goal and he celebrated it like it was something very important for him. But it was an individual thing for him important. But the people are looking at you, what have you done before that time? And people have been waiting. So celebrating that goal against Burnley that way, That's not how people are going to look at you. They want way more. And he can do more, but I don't know what happened, because from what he did at Ajax and what he does now, it's a big difference.
Mario, thank you very much. Meanwhile, Manchester United in the news today alongside Manchester City and Aston Villa. They were the three teams that voted against the possibility of the Premier League clubs bringing in a salary cap, which could begin in 2025. This all explained in great detail over on an article on the website. FA Cup final then, Manchester City against Manchester United. Our coverage will start at 9 a.m. Eastern, May the 25th, live and exclusive on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectra e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles an hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Barcelona came from behind on Monday to defeat Valencia by 4-2. Valencia down to 10 men just before the break. Their goalkeeper getting sent off. It was a game full of goalkeeping errors, in fact. But in the end, Lewandowski gets his first ever La Liga hat-trick and Barca get the 3 points. More on this. Live from Bahrain.
No.
Lewis, where is he?
Brunei.
Brunei. I got my bees mixed up.
Watch this. Absolutely nuts.
It is 5 a.m.
He's in Brunei.
He's committed.
Bonkers.
For the cause.
In the end, Luis, a better second half, obviously.
Yes, to be honest, it was worth it. I've been waiting for a good performance from Barcelona, even though that Valencia had one less man. I think that they did a good job. We saw in the first half that the dynamic, the speed on the ball, the intention of Barcelona was to go for it and win the 3 points. It's true that once again, the individual mistake caused them too much. It was Mamardashvili, the one who gave the chance of Barcelona to coming back. And in the second half, again, we saw a very, very good Barcelona with determination and not allowing Valencia to even recover. The first goal in the first 5 minutes of the second half gave the opportunity to Barcelona to have a little bit more patient, and we saw a very good Valencia, but they ran out of legs. And once you are facing against this kind of Barcelona, it's very difficult to hold. One very good thing, Lewandowski scoring once again for Barcelona, that he was important, and I totally agree with the guys. He could have scored a little bit early on the season to give more options to Barcelona in the Champions League and maybe in the league. But another very good thing for Barcelona is the set pieces. Today, they proved that it could be a big danger for the next coming games, even though they, once again, they are fighting just for the second place.
Please tell me we're keeping him for the whole show and extra time.
Extra time and the extra bits.
At least that's more awake than I feel right now.
Well, that's normal.
That's normal.
And should we be surprised at that?
OK, let's take us through some of these goalkeeping incidents. First off, the Ter Stegen one, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, all of them are hard to explain. Sydney hard to excuse. For Ter Stegen, listen, you committed to the through ball, fine. You decide you are trying to keep it. You can't try to dink it over the top of the striker. You have to go over the striker's right shoulder at this point, because then if you don't get the height absolutely correct, at least it's to the side of him.
So he's trying to dink it over the...
He tries to go over the top of the attacker, and it just doesn't get enough on it. And from then it's just...
See, this is a classic case of when Ter Stegen was at the school and the playground, he thought he was going to be Gert Müller up front.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And then we see this incident here where it's a first touch and tackle, isn't it?
Yeah, Manos, really, this is just a poor first touch. And it's as simple as that. Again, I can't explain it because it's a very good ball back. It's a good pitch. He just makes an absolute mess of it. I don't know. Taking his eye off it, sometimes. I don't know.
And then, obviously, we see in the second half, Barcelona come out and get that equaliser, Luis. We were all surprised that this goal was given, were you?
Yes, a little bit, because after the work we've seen lately on VAR situation, I think that it's clear that Fermín López is in offside position, and he's right there on the line. It's true that I think the Domenech was already going back, maybe didn't have the chance or opportunity to save it, but I think that he can distract a little bit the keeper, because Fermín kind of moved all around. I'm not sure, to be honest. I was surprised that it was given. But in the end, it's about interpretation. And one is interpretation. It doesn't matter what we say. It's what the referee decides.
Look, for me, the counter-argument to this is that it probably would have gone in anyway. But I that's relevant. If Fermín López is in a position where he's obstructing, interfering, distracting Domenech, then it has to be ruled out. I'm not sure how you stand 2 yards to the left, 2 yards to the front of the goalkeeper. The ball just narrowly misses your hip, and it doesn't affect the goalkeeper in some way. Should have been disallowed.
Obviously, it wasn't. Barcelona, a key time to score as they would go on to win the game. Luis, what's happened to Araujo this season, certainly over the last couple of months?
Yeah, it's just strange to try to analyse the way that he performed last year and how he's been so inconsistent this year, because we've seen good performances from Araujo. We always talked about his leadership at the back, his power, his strength, the ability to be in the right spot, to stop Vinicius Junior. But lately, I think that is overall the feeling of the whole team. There are moments where there are a lot of doubts, maybe where they got anxious at some points, and we've seen it in that tackle. I mean, you don't need to do that tackle. You can run, you can go and go shoulder to shoulder, because you could see that you arrive, and he's done twice in the last 3 weeks. And that's something that for a top center back should have read it a lot better, and he's been so inconsistent the whole season. So hopefully for Barcelona next year he goes back again, that feeling. I think that now that he's next to Pau Cubarsí, there is a player who is very calm, very relaxed when he's on the ball, who is going to give that confidence back, and we can see a good partnership for the coming years.
What's happened to him? Why is he rubbish now?
Oh, I get all the easy questions.
I'm sorry. What would you like me to ask you?
Well, I think he's lost a bit of confidence. He's lost a bit of sharpness to me as well, because he's one of the quickest defenders in world football. But to go back to the point Lewis was talking about there, I think the better structured back four, if indeed they play a back four again next year, which I think they will, the better structured back four he gets into and they start working as a unit, right, which they haven't been all year. It's been ins and outs and players playing, you know, Cancelo at right back, Cancelo at left back, Christian at centre half, Christian's in midfield, Koundé at centre. I mean, it's been all over the place. And I don't think that's helped anybody. And I think he has
bore a bit of the brunt of it recently, and you know, that's, he's got to accept that. But I think if they get a bit more experience and continuity in there, they can start working as a unit again. And listen, if they start making, if they keep making the same mistakes when that happens and they're defending poorly, then they're going to have to take the criticism. But at the moment, I don't think anybody in this back four looks comfortable, because there have been so many changes this season. And also the protection in front of them has not been great. And I think then you start making some poor decisions, and then you try to make up for those poor decisions by making another one. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the Champions League game in Paris. It was his bad pass out into the middle of the park that got intercepted. Then he tried to backtrack on Barkala, who was just too quick for him, cut across him. So that was two bad decisions, and it culminates him being red carded. And I think he's at that stage now where it's snowballing for him, and he needs to get back to basics. He's big, he's strong, he's very quick. He doesn't have to sell himself in these positions. He can get tight to defenders, to attackers. There's not many attackers that are going to roll him and outpace him. So he doesn't have to make rash decisions. And when he gets back, Araujo, that is, to making the good basics decision of defending, I think we'll see the player that we saw last year.
I think that's the thing. It's more, for me, the protection in front of him. The mistake today for that opening goal, that's pretty basic defending. You get touched tight, the ball, maybe again, the conditions really do play a part in it, in that the ball flies a whole lot further than he expects. But in terms of defending, that's a pretty basic mistake to make, getting touched tight with a ball that goes over your head, and then you go chasing and again commit to a challenge that you get nowhere near the ball. He's appealing to the referee even after the penalty's already scored. It was an awful challenge. And those decisions, I think, are reflective of just how poor his own decision-making process has been. And maybe that protection gives him the opportunity to sit a little bit deeper. But the fact that he's not played with a steady centre-half up until recently with Kobasi, I don't see that as an excuse. I just feel that some of these decisions you make regardless of who's next to you.
In the end, though, the mistake, of course, doesn't cost Barcelona the game. Lewandowski going on to get his hat-trick. Great free kick, of course, to seal that, Luis. If Barcelona are going to compete with Real Madrid and Kylian Mbappe next season, they need Lewandowski to be on top form. Do you believe he can produce this week in, week out?
Well, we've seen this season that he cannot do that anymore. Mm. But can he be consistent scoring? Yes, I still think that he's got the power, he's got the sharpness, he's got the hunger of continue being a top scorer. But he needs help. First of all, you're going to have maybe Ferran Torres next to you. We'll see if Victor Roque is going to get or be an impact next season, because we haven't seen much about him. You got Rafinha, you got Lamine Yamal, you got players into the middle who can add also extra goals. But you know that you're not going to have Lewandowski for midweek the Champions League and the weekend for La Liga. So you need to decide where to use it, because that's what happened with him in the beginning of the season. When he played every single game, you could see that the controls were not good, that the sharpness wasn't there. He arrived late at some points, not in the perfect spot. Today, once again, he was right where he has to be. Inside of the box, that's where is the danger. But I think that, yeah, Lewandowski still a lot of goal on him. But you need to adapt the style of play and the minutes for next season.
I think there's a simple sort of answer to the can he or is he going to be good enough next year, and it is he'll have to be.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
they haven't got any money bringing anyone else in.
Correct.
Vitor Roque has not done what they're expecting to do.
They're not fishing in the pond that they were, and the one that Real Madrid is still fishing in, and so they're not bringing in the creme de la creme of world attacking players. So he's going to have to up his game. And we, certainly at the beginning of this season, really saw the other side of Lewandowski. And he's, not that we didn't see it at Bayern, because we did a little bit when he was carping about his teammates and mm-hmm. awards and all that. And we know he's got that selfish streak to him, which I suppose, you know, strikers, they kind of need that. But he was very frustrated at the start of this season. And that's only going to get worse unless Barcelona fix their problems and have a really good start to the campaign next year. But again, the answer is they're not in the position to go out and spend 100 million plus on superstars. So if Robert Lewandowski doesn't play consistently well next year? It's quite simple. Bassett are screwed.
Coming up later on in the show, more from Barcelona's victory over Valencia. We'll be hearing from those involved with Gemma. Be sure to stay with us. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd's Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Right then, Champions League semi-finals. If you had these four teams left in the competition at the start, then fair play. Tomorrow, Bayern Munich taking on Real Madrid. And then on Wednesday, it's Borussia Dortmund against PSG. Bayern and Real Madrid, of course, two giants of Europe, faced off on a number of occasions throughout the Champions League history. Real Madrid sneak it just 12-11. There's three draws thrown into that as well. Luis Garcia is still with us. Still awake. 5:23 in the morning.
Well, it's PSG and Real Madrid final, so, I mean, we don't have to play these semis, do we? have I upset our German friends? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, no, it's not simple.
This should be brilliant, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Two proper European heavyweights going at it.
Yeah, Bayern Munich, a heavyweight in name. And maybe some would say, well, you know, look at the Arsenal game, and I get it. Right, listen, experience. But I am not expecting Real Madrid to be as amateurish as Arsenal were in this, because they're big. Arsenal got caught in the big time lights and it hit them hard. They just were, you know, it was like, oh, Bayern Munich quarter final. When, oh, it's not the Premier League. It's not Brentford.
Yeah.
It's not. So they got caught in that. I do not expect Real Madrid to get affected one iota, and for that reason, I think we'll see Bayern Munich under much more pressure than they were in the Arsenal game. And when they've been under pressure this year, they've folded. They really have. And so maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But you know, the Arsenal performance was an anomaly really for Bayern Munich, because they've been really poor this season. Miles off the league, and I mean miles out of the Pokal to lower tier opposition, losing at home recently before the Arsenal game to Dortmund. All these results were terrible. So there was nothing in their makeup that said this team can go all the way, apart from the fact that Arsenal got caught in the headlights. How many times do Real Madrid get caught in the headlights? Not very often.
And you take a look at the possible starting 11, of course, Thomas Tuchel, with some selection problems. And if you're a Bayern fan, you're looking at this, Luis, and you are scared about that back line.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the big problem that the Bayern Munich had during the whole season. I mean, that consistency, allowing so many chances, conceding so many mistakes at the back. You know that up front, you're going to have opportunities. You got a fantastic striker who can kill the game in just two chances. But at the back, you know that you're going to face one of the most dangerous teams in the world, that is Real Madrid, with two, three fantastic players who can decide the game if you just look around. And those transitions that Real Madrid does are a big, big problem to Bayern Munich, who likes to go up and press higher, brings the line very, very far away from the goal and try to put you under pressure. But for Real Madrid, that's the perfect scenario. So as soon as they can beat that first line of defense, they're going to start flying on your back and get advantage of those spaces. So, yeah, big concern for Bayern Munich at the back. But they've proven against Arsenal that they can do it. This is a team that has got history and has got experience in this competition. So I think they can perform well.
It's interesting, and it is kind of comparing.
He's hoping.
Well, of course he's hoping.
He's hoping.
Yeah, of course he's hoping. We know.
That's the last thing that you lose.
We know. That is that. But you can't imagine Real having an Arsenal-like performance.
No, not at all. Not in this competition at all. I think this is, well, certainly the first thing is about Bayern Munich and the fact that this is all they have left. And while Craig's right, they haven't looked themselves in the league. They lost that a long time ago, in actual fact. I think as a result, they maybe have lacked some motivation around league performances. And you saw the best of who Bayern Munich can be in the Champions League. Yes, huge concerns. Kimmich is not a natural right back. Dyer is not a Champions League winning centre back. Kim, who's an outstanding defender, hasn't been himself. And it's all about that midfield and how much protection they can afford that back for. I think certainly at home, Bayern will prove a very stern test for Real Madrid. But I think the kind of deciding aspect around this is going back to the Bernabeu. I just feel Real Madrid will be.
In some sense, though, the ties are more intriguing now that Man City are out. Mm. And people say, well, maybe, but let's be honest. Man City, even though they lost, you know, and deserve to go out, they're out. The actual games as a contest, I mean, the one at the Bernabeu was pretty good. The one at the Etihad, not so much. But they tend to dominate so much
yes.
that it's kind of when will they score, will they get caught in the counter-attack kind of stuff. With both of these ties, even though I've talked about Bayern Munich not playing so well, there's not one team, although I think Real Madrid are certainly favourites, there's not one team you think they're going to dominate the 90 minutes like City have done and probably would do. So in that context, in terms of a football game, both of them I think are going to be really good.
Let's take a look at the predictions then. As Craig said, pretty much everyone going for Real Madrid, with the exception, of course, of former Barcelona player Luis Garcia, who is struggling for sleep at the moment, but yet still can't let it go and still believes somehow Bayern will get it. Do you want to even give me the explanation, Luis, or just put on your Barca T-shirt?
Jet lag.
Oh, he's gone. I can't hear him.
I can't. That's
it.
He's
had
enough. He's gone to bed.
That's it. Yeah. All right, mate.
To be honest with you, that's... A couple of hours longer than I thought he would have lasted.
He's over!
Hit snooze.
Luis,
hit snooze.
When there's any sort of problem, pull the plug and run. It's go to bed. Luis Garcia, thank you so much. Much appreciated. Of course, we'll be reflecting a lot more on that game on the next edition of FC. Be sure to join us as we'll be looking back at Bayern Munich against Real Madrid.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way.
So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Back to our top story. Barcelona coming from behind to beat Valencia by 4-2 at the Montjuic after the game. Robert Lewandowski spoke to Gemma.
We're with the MVP of this game, Robert Lewandowski. You have the ball. Can you show us the ball of the three goals to complete this amazing comeback, two headers and that amazing free kick without a run?
Yeah, so we can see that I scored three goals for the from the set pieces. Yeah. I don't think that is like very often. But of course we are happy because we won, we have 3 points, even that sometimes the game not going what we had in the plan, but this is football. We have so strong team in offensive that we can create situation and score the goal. Of course, in the part of the pitch, sometimes we can do the better decision with the last pass, with the last cross, for example. But in the end, everything what we did, everything is like for our. We have so many young players that this kind of game can help us to build up our mentality and be even stronger for the future.
You mentioned that it was a difficult game. There were a lot of individual mistakes. Ter Stegen, Araujo, then even Mamardashvili. Was it very difficult to play with the wind? And
you know, sometimes can happen in football. But if you are playing at home in La Liga, always we can score 2 or 3 goals. Almost, not always, but so many games. Because we are very strong of team. Of course, we have to also learn how to use sometimes the space, how to use the opportunity what we have or what we create to be faster with the last pass, with the last cross. And then we have also the opportunity to score more goals. This is like, this is football. And we are FC Barcelona. We know that from the fans, especially if you're playing at home, that we have to create a lot of situation, trying to score goals. And in the end, we can score 4 goals, even that we concede two goals that we shouldn't concede. But this is football. I prefer to score 4 goals and win 4-2 than 1-0, for example.
Of course. And this is the first game after Xavi announced that he will stay here next season. So I want to know what did you thought when you knew that? And also that you want to be here to help the team next season too with Xavi.
Of course, with my experience, I see a lot of things that I can help the teammates, the club as well. Of course, I don't want to be like step forward if I see that someone need my help, that of course I always can help because, you know, in my career, in my life, I saw so many things and I was living with so many situations from the amazing situation of the moment, also some difficult. So this kind of experience can help also us for the on the pitch and off the pitch as well, but more important that you know, even that we have still 5 games, and it doesn't matter how many points we have now. We have to also build our mentality that every of each of these games we want to win and we want to play like offensive football and and give happiness for the fans, for us as well, to score and give them more goals and of course try to win every each of this game.
The last one, next game is against Girona. It's a massive game to have the second spot and also for the top scorer. You're only 3 goals away from Dobbik now.
Yeah, if we create a lot of situation for Pornia to score the goal, also for me it will be easier to score the goal. Okay, today I scored 3 goals, but most of them was from the set pieces. But sometimes it's difficult if the opponent play like that, very defensive. We didn't have many space. But in the end, it doesn't matter how. More important that we score the goal. So of course, always in my head is like this, had my team, and if I have opportunity to not always even that score the goal, but had to opportunity to score on the goal. You know, to be ready for the next situation is also very important for the striker. And I think today, even the free kick, I was speaking with Ferran, because Ferran also tried to score the free kick. Ferran, I feel that in my position, I feel that I can score this goal, leave it. And, you know, in the end, I scored the goal. So also, I'm very proud of this free kick and also for the team, because, you know, sometimes after two difficult games against last 2 games, it's like we are losing. So come on, guys. It doesn't matter. We have to fight until the last minute and win the game. And this is football. You have to always be motivated, always thinking mentality that you are so strong that you can beat the next appointment.
Thank you. Congratulations, Thank you. Robert.
Just a reminder, that game, of course, will be live on ESPN Plus. Girona against Barcelona. The battle as to who is going to finish second in La Liga. Preceding that is Real Madrid against Cadiz. We'll cover that doubleheader for you in detail on Saturday. Be sure to stay tuned. Mario is back. Extra time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig with us here in the studio, as is Shaq, and Mario joins us. Mario, what were you celebrating the King's birthday at the weekend?
Oh, no. I was just watching it because they were sharing some of the videos with me. But no, we celebrate his birthday, but no. I'd done it so much when I was living in Holland. But then when I moved to England at the age of, 21, I stopped celebrating it. I just looked from distance.
Oh, I see. But it's just like a big party, yeah?
Yes. So we celebrate just his birthday, like anybody else. But because he's the head of the country, so everybody turns up in orange, and you go on the street. And normally the history of it is that you are capable to sell certain like little kind of things you can sell on the street. For normally you do it as a kid, you sell little things on the street and try to make a little bit of money. That's what kind of supposed to be the tradition. And now it becomes like a party and people are on boats and drinking and having fun. But the whole country is celebrating it.
Oh, fantastic.
Well,
that's a good tradition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Celebrating King's birthday. I'm going to join somebody's boat next year.
There we go.
Sorry?
And go on somebody's boat, have a few drinks, sell something.
You're off on holiday again, aren't you, on Thursday?
No, I'm not off on holiday.
What?
I'm advancing the...
You're actually playing in a charity game,
yeah.
Brand.
Yes, yeah. I'm advancing the brand.
Where can people come and watch you if they want to watch?
Huh?
Where are you?
In Grenada.
Right. And what time's the game? Who is it against?
The game is at 6:30, I think.
Right.
Against some other old players.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Nice.
And what, you're bringing back this time?
Hmm?
Yeah, you were sick last time when you came back from Carnival.
I didn't know they had a king in Holland.
There we go.
Not that I'm... neither here nor there, I have to be honest.
Right, we're good.
King of Holland.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Do you know that?
I knew that.
Perfect.
Didn't know that.
You're not on Twitter, so you wouldn't have seen this, Shaq. Somebody sent me this today, which is brilliant. This is Craig at the World Cup, ahead of the kickoff. Just take a look at his face. Jim Leighton's got a tub of Vaseline.
Why are you angry?
Look at him.
Oh my God.
Why are you angry before the game?
Were you angry?
What?
Why were you angry?
Somebody, what happened was, you know what happened?
Made me play this game here. Who decided to put on a game?
You know what happened? Somebody told me that we were going to be talking about Kylian Mbappe.
That was it.
I don't know. Maybe that was. I was just.
You were just excited, pumped up, ready to go.
What is that?
I've not been funny. I've not been funny, but look. Hey. You know.
What do you mean? Yeah, you set the bar really low, though, if you're trying to get any sort of compliments.
We're trying to say...
Hey, Greg, easy now. What are you trying to say? It looks the same. Come on now, brother. Come on now. Allow it. Keep
still
going.
Angry. Still angry.
But look at that.
Make that face. Make that face.
What face?
That face there.
No, because I've got no teeth in there.
It looks like you have no teeth in the tail.
Lovely.
You guys, anyway.
I tell you what, you guys, you don't get it. Not the first time, you show a bit of passion.
Right.
And you're ridiculed.
Yeah.
Why has Jim Leighton got so much Vaseline?
You see all the Vaseline on
his headers. Just in case he has to go up for a header.
Can we see that picture again?
Yeah. Can we get out the first picture?
No, put the big picture.
No, not the big one. The bigger one. Yeah, we've seen that.
Dirty kids.
But it's a lot.
There we go.
Now, look at him. Jim Leighton is the goalkeeper, by the way.
Former Aberdeen and Manchester United goalkeeper. Jim has got a problem with his eyes.
Right.
Like, he'll never see this. If he does, sorry, Jim. Jim had a problem seeing the ball.
Okay.
Great. You have to tell us about the Vaseline, because people don't know about the Vaseline. I had it on my eyes too, so tell us, why do you put it?
No, because people the reason know, Jim has got the Vaseline in, because Jim wore contact lenses when he played. And according to Jim, when they sweat,
Oh, God in his eyes.
Goalkeeper sweat, apparently.
Right.
The sweat would go in his eyes, and when the before he had the Vaseline, he would come out and he'd be even more like Mr. Magoo than before.
But do you need that amount?
Casey used to wear contacts.
Yeah, man. When he was playing.
I don't remember Casey having Vaseline.
No, I don't remember. But Mario, you went for the Vaseline technique as well to keep the sweat out of your eyes.
Exactly, because when I came in the first team at Ajax, I thought it would help me. But when I got to England, I got woken up. They said, stop that craziness. So then I didn't do it anymore. But in the beginning, when I was at Ajax, I clearly did it. I put some on the eyebrows. I thought the sweat is going to stay out of my eyes. But trust me, when you got a couple of elbows in England, you quickly understand that, no, you don't need it. Just make sure that you get away from the elbows.
And then what was it, the, like, Vieira, when he was always put Vicks on his... did you ever do that, Mario? The Vicks on the chest.
I never done that, but I know because I know Pat, and he did it because of the breathing. You know, because sometimes it goes in and it gives him a fresher breathing, so that's why he had it.
Do you remember that craze that used to go around? I don't know if you ever, I don't think you did. Do you remember the craze that went around for a while, years ago? People would put the band over their nose.
Yeah, Robbie Fowler obviously kicked that off.
Well, it wasn't just football, I don't believe.
Right, okay, but I still, the reference to Robbie Fowler, I think, is a very...
Have I fought somebody before Robbie Fowler did it?
He was the poster child of it.
Yeah, that was to help you breathe.
Yeah. Yes.
Just...
Yes. Right, what's the point of that?
It's supposed to...
I know the point of it. I mean, why is he bringing it up?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about phases and fads.
I'm talking about breathing,
Yeah,
breathing. People wear them for snoring now, don't they? You can worry. Yeah. You can wear them for snoring.
Yeah, I don't have one big enough to get over my nose. you need masking tape.
Oh, man.
Hey, but by the way...
Right, what's wrong?
What was I going to say?
I don't know. Vaseline.
Nothing.
Fix.
No. Yeah, the old... I don't see how putting... That's how you rub it on your chest, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a big jar.
Right.
I don't know.
And now the fad is obviously cutting your socks, isn't it? Like,
you're cutting the socks at the back?
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently that helps the calves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cramps. That's supposed to have alleviated cramps.
Yeah, but cramps.
Yeah, but that's silly. Because if you got small calves, why are you cutting it? If you got big calves, I can understand a little bit. But come on, I have to be honest, and I will tell you the truth, and Saka probably can think about it. I have to be honest, and this is nothing to do with anything, but we black people don't have a lot of big calves. Especially I'm talking. I don't have big calves. So I would definitely not be cutting it. Because we are not known for having big calves. Shaka, do you have big calves? Because I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm part of the small calf it's a brigade. Thing.
We have small calves.
I have part of the small calves.
Excuse me, Daniel. I think I've got to go and have another cup of coffee.
Right, here
I'm
we go.
Involved in this
recently, Shaka mentioned that nothing gets him angry.
Do you like my
Did
mug,
you really
by the
say
way?
Say that.
Huh? What makes you angry?
Ali asked me what makes my blood boil yesterday.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Oh. You and Gab have got it, Ali. I remember you getting angry at
Gab. Yeah, I got angry at Gab a couple of times.
Gab makes anyone angry.
Yeah. Angry at Gab a couple of times.
What does make your blood boil?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm pretty easy going. That was my point.
Oh, I see.
No.
What's that?
that's easy
so,
going.
Mario, what gets you upset, Mario? What makes you angry in everyday life?
I think probably honesty. I think honesty, you know...
People being honest.
We all have our moments. Yeah, being honest. I think that probably can get me going, you know? Like, I don't have a lot of people around me that aren't honest, but if I would, you know, I think... You know, like, everybody goes in and you meet people that say, like, oh, they're going to do this and they're not doing it. And then I think that will trigger me. As a footballer, I had it. You know, sometimes you have your coach and he says to you, oh, this week you're going to play. The week comes and you end up seeing that you're on the bench. Oh my God, he got me going then. He got me going.
Right. Liars.
My recent trigger...
dogs.
The recent trigger is definitely people walking dogs.
Outside your house on public property.
It is public property. There is no there is no grey area about that.
Yes.
However, it is outside my house. And there are areas that dogs may be walked on a leash that our dogs would prefer to be walked, which are not outside my house, which are not affecting my three dogs. Those people should be locked up for life.
Good. Sounds
and
reasonable.
I hope one of my neighbours...
Sounds reasonable.
In fact, I might even put a flyer through the doors tonight.
Right.
I, apart from my next-door neighbour, who has a dog but doesn't walk it out, and they go do normal stuff, they're OK. The rest of them don't care if they emigrate.
Every one of them. Can't stand them.
Okay. All right. Lovely.
Now, that's my garden parties. Oh, I get it. I'm not going to the next garden party. I wasn't going anyway, Shaq. Barbecue.
Right.
I'll Mario. Take my dogs up and they'll wee on their barbecues. Right. I don't care.
Mario, would you prefer a De Clasica final or an Mbappe versus Real Madrid final? So Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund or PSG Real Madrid?
Oh, then I go for PSG Real Madrid. I like two different countries. I like that because, you know, it just gives us something else. And it doesn't mean like it could be Dortmund too, but for me, the most important part is like I like two different countries to face each other because that puts a little spice into the final, I feel.
Here, I've got another one, quickly.
No, but you're the one who's in a rush today.
Yeah, I know, we'll be done. Do you know this is really annoying though? And I don't do this. Do you know when people, traffic lights, and the light goes green?
Yep.
And somebody's just maybe a second or so.
Oh God, yeah, that drives.
And the people behind are
blowing the horn.
Blowing the horn.
Yeah, but you should be attentive, not be on your phone. Get ready.
When people do me that, I stay a little bit longer.
There you are, Sean. That's something that annoys you.
Yeah. It does annoy me.
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're thinking. Whenever somebody does that, I just think, bill at me.
Be what?
Well, knock up people for walking their dogs.
Yeah. I'm easy going, and unless you're my neighbour.
Craig, if Jules agreed to wear your kit during the show, would you agree to go on the Gab and Jules show? Because he wears a kit, obviously, different week, different classic kits.
Will he wear my kit?
Your Commodore. Was it Commodore? Would that be your first
Chelsea?
One? Chelsea Commodore.
Or Scotland. Or Celtic.
Chelsea. Like, your first ever kit would have been Commodore with the sponsors, were they? You must know who was on the sponsor.
Well, it was Coors at one point.
Yeah, I know it was Coors at one point, but it was your era.
What do you look like, a marketing man?
You would know who sponsored you, surely, on the show.
Well, you look like what?
Do you mind? Don't make your forward run yet. I'm just going to check who sponsored
you. Well, you still know? My God!
Oh, my God. We've lost a goal.
Why is it so hard, Mario? Why?
Sorry, gaffer. Sorry, I didn't pick him up there. I was just checking out the sponsor. I have no idea. The answer is no.
Right.
The answer is no. I'm done.
Who was Reading sponsored? Do you remember?
Auto Trader.
There you are. See,
the chairman, John Medeski, was a few.
Yeah, but he'd 90 minutes to check his shit. I don't have that time. And by the way, let's cut to the chase here with all these extra shows.
What's wrong?
I'm done with extra shows.
What extra shows? What do you mean? You've never done an extra show.
I'm done with them.
What do you mean done?
I'm done. I'm here, extra times, and I'm done. Right. Extras, out.
Right.
So don't ask again.
All right.
People need to stop asking.
Okay.
Nobody asking anyway.
Shaka, have you ever seen a team like Barcelona where your defenders, goalkeepers have made major mistakes all season? I can't think of one player in our back line, including our backup keeper, who hasn't made mistakes over a series of games.
Nah, not the entire back four and goalkeepers in that way. I can't. City, not a top team. Yeah. Not a top team that looked that bad at the back.
Let's see the next question.
Well.
Craig, how were you sent off by your former clubs? Any good or bad memories?
How am I what?
How were you sent off? That is a goodbye by your former clubs.
Well.
Get out! Was it Derby?
Hold on, when I came back here, the door was not barricaded.
Didn't Derby give your number to Robbie Musto?
Oh, yeah. Right, no, John was still there at the time.
Right.
I gave Musty my number. You've told, you know this story.
Yeah.
I won't go into it. But needless to say, I pulled Musty's leg a little bit for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very much persona non grata. But see, this is where people get the wrong end of the stick. I was 2.5 years at Derby in the Premier League when Jim Smith made me the captain.
Yes.
Right, so things weren't that bad. They ended badly, which is always the way people remember. I left Chelsea on good terms, very good terms, with everybody, and I actually left Celtic on brilliant terms. The supporters didn't want me to go.
Yeah. It was only when you started to be a commentator.
Yeah, but now, because of my job for the last 20 years, whatever it is, I am definitely persona non grata.
But that's fine by me. I'm not, you know, I've no interest in supporters' dinners and all that. I just can't. No interest in. No. I mean, I'm filled them every week. I've got about a dozen of them come in.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah, all over
invites.
The world.
Oh, all invites. Invites. Oh. Mario, what about
they want to be in London. They want to be in London.
Mario, what sort of send-off did they give when you were young at Ajax?
At Ajax, it was actually funny because the club was kind of not working on it, but Edwin van der Sar pulled me to the side and put me right in front of the strongest crowd of Ajax, the F side they call them. And he made me celebrate with them while I was leaving. So that was kind of like, it was a cool way. I never had a problem. I think Amsterdam was good to me. And then, like Greg said, you know, when I go to London, you know, because the connection to Chelsea, that's, for me, one of the best. And then Wigan, no problems. Rennes, no. I don't know. Birmingham is maybe the most sensitive one of all of them. But I still think I can go back there and feel like I had one good season. The second one wasn't that good.
What about you, Shaq? Did you have any sort of send-off?
No.
No.
Well, left on good terms. But no, nothing to talk about.
No, they write all these letters and that now, don't they?
They Yeah.
It's not, sorry, I meant they're writing letters. They post on social media.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it. Thank you.
We didn't. Beautiful. First of all, that was an option for us.
Yeah.
Season ends, you move on, see you later.
Yeah,
that's
you
it.
Get your boots, you pack your bags, you go.
Aye.
You just man up.
Shaka, what is it about Barbados that makes it the best destination in the Caribbean?
Barbados has got it all. Wherever you want. Best beaches, they've got great beaches, great restaurants.
Did you plant this question just so
you could
do some talking
about it yesterday.
Barbados?
Somebody asked yesterday, if I wasn't going to try in Tobago, where would I go in the Caribbean? And it's straight away I said Barbados.
Yeah, but it's not all Barbados. There's some better bits than others.
Well, of course. Of course there is. Like everywhere else. Like everywhere else.
Shady, beach.
No, again, it's entirely for what you're up for.
What gets me is, not with Barbados, it's a very general thing with the Caribbean, is it gets cloudy a lot.
Yeah, but...
And I'm a very bright, sunshiny guy. It does get cloudy a lot, though, doesn't it?
Mario, where's your go-to holiday destination?
Suriname.
Oh, my go-to? I mean, look, I live in LA, so Suriname is definitely one of the coolest places I've ever, like, going there the first time. I crossed, but, like, you know where Saka's from? I only went to your airport, so I was, like, gutted and I didn't go in because I should have seen it. But anyway, I missed it. Trini, one day I hope God will bless me and make me see the carnival in your country. Just on your right shoulder, Saka, I will sit and watch it and see how good it is because I hear so many great things about your country.
But I'll take it, Mario.
By far one of the best countries.
No, I'll not. You too.
All right, then.
Have you been to the Indian Ocean?
I've been to Mauritius.
Mauritius.
Loved it.
Hey, you've been
to Indian Ocean?
No, I haven't, no.
Mauritius was gorgeous.
No, I didn't know enough football wages, was I? Not any money.
Mauritius was gorgeous.
Well, look at you now.
Mauritius, you've got a family.
Mauritius, I'm going without them. No, but Dan, he's right. Mauritius is beautiful.
Yeah, Mauritius.
South Africa. Mauritius.
They got South Africa. All right.
This is all a bit gloaty.
I don't care.
What do you mean? You're the one who's leading it.
I want to go to Aruba. That's
Aruba,
I'd like to go to.
Bahama.
Looks gorgeous. I've never been to Aruba.
You've never been to Aruba?
Yes.
Right. Start bench or drop the internet connection.
Beautiful
Mario,
Aruba.
Don, or Ian? Mario, your internet's been okay today. That's all right.
Mario's good.
Don's is okay. Ian's got some Ian's. Hey,
listen, I'm paying my bill. I'm paying my bill, then. I'm paying my bill.
Good.
I'm
about
trying
time.
To make sure I keep paying.
Ian's having issues.
Yeah, Ian's.
Well,
Ian's having
some internet's bad, and then there's the issues. But he was bad the other night when he comes in, bless him.
Yes.
And the thing is, when Ian has a bad internet connection at his home,
yes,
he feels bad about it.
I know, he messaged me afterwards. And I was like, don't worry about it, it's not your fault. Imagine Burley messaging me, I'm so sorry about the internet connection at my house.
Craig, your internet is bad.
Right.
Even
Shaka, as a City fan, could you please visit Arsenal on Saturday against Bournemouth? Of course, you went to the Villa game and then that went wrong.
It really went. Yes.
For Mario, who is the better Mario, you or Mario Balotelli?
Craig was asking something.
Listen. I cannot talk about Balotelli because I don't know him in person. I haven't met him yet. But when I meet him, I can probably give a better answer. Until now, I know myself. I like myself. I like being me.
Yeah, I like.
Well, if you don't like, you've got to like yourself.
I like Melchior as well.
You've got to like yourself. Tell me something.
Yes. What's the problem?
I remember the days, even though it was an A4 bit of paper, I would look over and that stretch was three questions.
Right, that's it, we're done. ESPN FC back on your side. I don't know why you're going to start complaining about the number of questions when we finish and therefore elongated the conversation. ESPN FC back tomorrow. It's Bayern Munich against Real Madrid. We'll be looking back at that and ahead to PSG.
Hey!
Borussia Dortmund.
The point stands.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles an hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.